The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Reading from verses 1 to 6, Malachi chapter 1. Reading from verses 1 to 6. Today I'm preaching on how to honor others. I know today is Father's Day, but it's good to preach in the general concept of honor so that everybody will be honored. The least person will be honored. The greatest person will be honored. Malachi. Chapter number 1. Now let me start from verse 3. Let me start from verse 3 because of where I've opened in my iPad. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are improvised, but we will not return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw it down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. My concern is with verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Say the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye shall say, wherein have we despised you? And God will tell them, they have offered polluted bread upon his altar. And wherein have we offered polluted bread? And God will tell them that you have made the table of the Lord contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And on and on. You would remember in scriptures that the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God has foreknowledge of everything. And because of that, he can predict into the future what one person would do and what the other would do. Because of the foreknowledge of God regarding what Jacob and Esau, who were twins from the same mother, born on the same day, will come and do, God decreed one thing and decreed another thing for the other. God could tell that Jacob would submit to him, and Jacob would serve him, and Jacob will honor his name. At the same time, he could also tell that Esau would dishonor him, and it was left to Esau to do something about it so that he will come back on track like his brother. But unfortunately, Esau did not do that. So in the preceding verses 1 to 3, God was talking about the fact that he didn't like Esau. He hated Esau because Esau had dishonored him and Esau had despised him. Then in verse 6, he says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be father, where is my honor? And if I be master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised your name? You are either honoring a person or you are despising the person. There are just two extreme ends. One brings a blessing, the other brings a curse. When you honor the people that God has ordained you should honor, you will be blessed forever. Some of the blessings will even go into the next generation. So the blessing will become intergenerational. What does the word honor mean, if we may understand that and proceed from there? Number one, the word honor means high respect and admiration. High respect and admiration. It is easier to respect somebody that you have some admiration for. A woman that does not admire her husband will criticize her bad. And any word from her mouth will be a very bad criticism against the husband. If you ever handled such a situation in counseling, you will realize that it will seem as if the woman were in perfect competition with the husband. And if you ever ask that lady to submit, she would point fingers to the man and say, "What about him?" So it is easier to respect somebody that you admire. So if you're a young woman and you're getting ready for marriage and you can't admire that man, then you have no business getting near him. Number two, honor means great esteem. And esteem is based on the value that you place on the other. There's a value on a newborn child. That is why the wise men from the East came to honor baby Jesus. So you esteem. They could see that a new king had been born. And all of us as Christians have the seed of greatness in us. So the Bible says we must esteem one another higher than ourselves. So you don't meet the other person thinking about yourself in superlatives and thinking about them as if they didn't matter and they were waste products of God. So everybody has value. Can you turn to the next person and say, "I recognize the value on you. So I choose to honor you today." Number three, honor means to distinguish someone. There may be many people, they may be five, they may be 20, they may be 120, they may be 1,000. And if you pick one person to do something significant for, in the concept of honor, you have distinguished the person. They may all be in the same class, they may be in the same graduating class, but if you are led to do something for one particular person on the basis of a heart that wants to honor, and you distinguish the person, then we say that you have honored that person. There may be several parents, and the day you choose to honor your parents, you have distinguished them. Your parents may not be alive, but there may be other parents alive that you may adopt, and that if you decide to do something for them that probably their own children may not even do for them, you have distinguished the person. God, in his dealing with us in salvation, distinguished us. He says, "You are a royal priesthood." He says, "You are a holy nation." He says, "You are a peculiar people. You are special unto God." He says that you are bought at a price, at the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. So the value on your life is very high. Nothing else can buy you as a human being. All the gold in the world cannot buy you. All the houses in California cannot buy you. Can I hear a very solid amen? They may sell all the cars in the world, articulated trucks. It can never buy a soul. But you were so valuable in the sight of God that he sent his only begotten son to shed his blood and to die for you. So never cheapen the price that is upon your life. There is a high value that God placed on you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have allowed his son to come and die for you. So the Bible says, if although you are in this world, you are not of this world. You are distinguished. The Bible says you are ambassadors of Christ. You represent Christ over here. There are ambassadors of some countries who are representing their countries in Ghana. And similarly, Ghana also has ambassadors in other countries. The territory where they are in, the walls, the four walls of the embassy where they are in is Ghana, even though it's in China. It's Ghana, even though it may be in Italy. It's Ghana, even though it may be in Brazil or Australia. It is Ghana. And the ambassadors have a certain immunity. Certain laws don't apply to them. If those laws may have to apply, they will have to be asked to leave the country because they will not be able to touch the ambassador because he has ambassadorial immunity. Oh, come on. I'm showing you how God has distinguished you so that you have immunity. Can I hear an amen? God has immuned you from dishonor, immuned you from sicknesses, diseases, immuned you. And you have to call upon God for this immunity to be established and walk in the light of this immunity. So you are distinguished. You are special. You don't need to bleach your face to be distinguished. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. You are distinguished. Tell the next person you are specially distinguished in the eyes of God. Can you say that? Before you wore those nice clothes, you were already distinguished. So don't do any funny thing to say you are distinguishing yourself. Just appear decently. Come on, somebody should be clapping. Appear decently. Don't do any strange thing. Don't dress like a madman before you are distinguished. So number one, honor means high respect and admiration. Number two, esteem, the value. Number three, we need to do things to distinguish one another. If a church chooses to call you a minister when you were a brother, the church is distinguishing you. If a church chooses to call you a deacon or deaconess or an elder or a pastor or a reverend or a bishop or an archbishop, the church is distinguishing you. Number four, honor means to make important. Sometimes things don't look important until somebody picks the person and projects the person. And everybody say, oh, so he knew the president. Look at how the president is talking about it. This guy must be very important. The way the president is talking about him, that he comes into his bedroom. When you get near the Jubilee House, the security man will ask you, hey, what are you looking for? But may it change for the better. So you are important. I want you to tell three people around you, you are very, very important. You are very, very, very important. In fact, your importance is yet to manifest. Very important. You may have walked into the church, nobody may have greeted you, nobody may have saluted you, nobody may have guided you. But I, as senior pastor, tell you, you are very important. Let's clap for that. Then to honor means to show special recognition to another. Sometimes they say that they are honoring some people at the end of the year, and they give them in Ghana the order of the Volta of so and so. Or maybe the queen, or currently the king of England, will say he's honoring somebody with an OBE or whatever it is. Or somebody is being promoted from the House of Commons to the House of Lords. So suddenly they call the person Lord so and so, including Lord Tete Jangma. Oh, you see now, you cannot clap for Lord Tete Jangma. So there are special recognitions that are done. Some mentions are made. It's not that yours is not important, but at that particular time, when Paul was writing his letters, he would say, thank Priscilla and Aquila. Mentions were made. There were other names that were mentioned that were not doing well. And he says, for Alexander the coppersmith, he did me evil. May God reward him according to the evil. That is not a positive distinction. So in studying the word, Paul would talk about some people who came to refresh him when he was in bonds, when he was in jail, when he was in prison. Some people sent him passes. It was dangerous to visit such a prisoner like Paul because he could easily be added to him. But some of these people were so courageous, were so bold, that they went there and said, can I see Apostle Paul? Somebody who had been accused for nothing. And somebody who had been thrown into jail for nothing. You can also be added to him for nothing. Now, when we honor someone, we just seek to enhance his reputation. The person may have reputation from God already, may have reputation by way of living. But when we honor them, we just add to the reputation. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, can I hear a more solid amen to that? I ordained a group of pastors in the church at a time. And that was on a Sunday. The following midweek service, one auntie of this person came to me, and just as I was stepping out of the vehicle, she said, can I see you, sir? I said, okay. Then she said to me that what you did on Sunday for the pastors, calling them reverends, was outstanding. It was unique. It was remarkable. Now, I want to mention that in our family, there is no elder. There is no deacon, much more pastor or reverend. And I noticed that the people you appointed as reverends, they are not lazy people. They are not just walking around in the ministry. When their CVs were read and their pedigrees were presented, these were people who were really engaged in doing something profitable. And I want to mention to you that you have done my family honor. Oh, come on. You are not clapping. You are not clapping. You are not clapping. Oh, I think you should clap better. Such depths of gratitude, overwhelming. And I said, wow. Then she says, we have this small thing to say thank you to. I said, oh, it was my job. And he's my son. And he's been doing very well. So we appreciate him. So it's the least the church can do for him. She says, Reverend, please take this from us. I said, oh, okay, then let me bless you. Now, oh, can I hear an amen? One of my brothers was serving in the ministry, still serving there. And I realized that his senior pastor loved him. And so gave him local and international appointments. So one day I called my brother, I said, let me see your senior pastor. So we drove there, I went to his office. The protocols were many. And I sat there and I said, sir, I'm here to express my gratitude unreservedly to you for this kindness that you have shown singularly to my brother. When I look at your organization, there are thousands of people. There are many people. You could have selected anybody. But how your eyes came on my brother, how you chose him, and how you gave him such opportunities, it beats our imagination. And on behalf of my family, I have come to say God bless you, and I have come to say thank you very much. Oh, you are not clapping. You are not clapping. The next few months, I heard my brother had been transferred to one of the lovely branches. Aha. Any wallet down, I can want your co-emin. Gratitude matters. The man has had honored my brother. I went there to honor him by way of gratitude and to speak about his leadership and to acknowledge what God was doing with him. We prayed together and I left. I want you to understand that the word honor is from the Hebrew word. Sometimes it's written kavod, sometimes kabod, K-A-V-O-D or K-A-B-O-D. That word in the Hebrew means weighty, something that is heavy. I believe you know that 1,000 cedis is heavier than 100 cedis. And I believe you know that 10,000 is heavier than 1,000. And 100,000 cedis is heavier than 10,000. And 1,000,000 cedis is heavier than 100,000 cedis. So God is saying that in honoring someone, let there be weight in it. Oh, come on. In other words, you can do something that is ordinary. You can do something that is commonplace. But looking at even your life, your circumstances, your finances, and you go to an extent of doing what in God's sight pleases him. For the one you are doing it, God will recognize it and honor you as well. So while you are honoring the person, God is also honoring you. I'm going to continue preaching under the following 6 points. Number one, honor is a command. It's not negotiable. To honor another person is a command from God. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long, that it may be well with you. The Bible says that honor the king and accept the brotherhood. So you know that it's authoritative. It is a statement of authority urging you to comply with the directive. So to honor somebody is not an elective. To honor somebody is not a choice. Especially if it has been clearly stated in the pages, in the black and white pages of the Bible. So honor is an order. like a court order, appear before the court. If you don't appear, then it's a contempt. And if you don't appear for the contempt, then they will issue an arrest warrant. If you don't appear after the arrest warrant, then you are a fugitive. You are running away from the law. So, honoring another person, whether a small person or a big person, a brother or sister of yours, a niece or cousin, a friend, a colleague in church, whatever it is a command from God, and you have to accept it. You don't have to debate it. You don't have to downsize it. You don't have to change it. You don't have to edit it. You don't have to alter it. You don't have to hold anything back, because if you held anything back, God will hold something back from you. So honor is a command. And if God says, honor me with your substance, then you can't negotiate that. When it's time, you honor God. Number two, honor is by love. Honor is by law. Love, sorry. Although it is a command, the expectation of God is that you would do it willingly. And so God has allowed you this grace to walk in love to fulfill his commandments. He may say, thou shalt not so, so and so. But he leaves it to you to walk in love. So he doesn't hold the back of your neck and insist that you do this and do that. But God wants you to flow in love. Oh, can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? Amen? If somebody wants to honor you, it's their choice. If they don't want to honor you, it's their choice. The only time when it's a problem is when they are living under your roof. When they are living under your roof, they must do the right thing. Otherwise, like Abraham, God would tell you, cast out the bondwoman and her child. But any other person may choose to honor you or dishonor you. You don't fight it. You leave them. Now, love is an emotion which is expressed in affection. Affection is how you endear yourself to someone. Endearment may take you to the place of having some nice pet names for the person and going out of your way to do some lovely things to honor that person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, let love be your aim. You will notice that Apostle Paul had been talking about the gifts of the Spirit in preceding chapter, and I've been talking about how if you do anything without love, you are like a noisy barrel. You're like a tinkling cymbal. And it doesn't register properly with others. So Apostle Paul was talking about the operating of the gifts. And Paul is saying that if you want to operate like the prophetic gift, then let love be your aim. Otherwise, you will embarrass people. Paul says, if you want to teach, let love be your aim. Don't come and blast the people. Paul says, if you want to preach, let love be your objective. Let love be your priority. If it's not love, leave it alone. The next scripture concerning love says that The love of Christ constraineth us to do things. I didn't hear an amen. Oh, shout amen. 2 Corinthians 5:14. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. We are interested in the early clause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The word constrain means compels us. In other words, if I have to do an outreach, the love of Christ must compel me. Constraint means controls. If I have to pray for the sick, the love of Christ must constrain me. Otherwise, I'll be charging money for praying for the sick. If I have to help others, I don't ask them to sow a seed before I help them. Because they don't even have. That's why I'm to help them. So the word constrain also means to guide. So constrain, it means compels, controls, guides, and impels. The Bible says that if you want to correct another person, the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's the love of God that will do the business. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 16:14. The Bible says, let all things be done with charity. And charity is another expression for love. Let the children be corrected in charity. Let the suggesting be done to your boss in charity. Let all things be done. Let the giving be done in love. If you are at the gate and you are welcoming people, or you are an usher, or you are part of security and you are helping people to park in the car park, it must be done in love. Otherwise, you will quarrel with the guests who are coming in. You will fight people, and people will complain, report, and some may vow that they will never visit that church again. So if we notice that there is something that is going on wrong in such a domain, we call your attention and we say, cool down, relate to them in love. And if you can't manage them, report it to a superior who can manage it. But don't stand there and tell them only money jimiona. So let all things be done with charity. Let all things be done in love. In Romans 12:9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be sincere. Let it be real life. Let it not be fake love. Let it be real love. I'm living in this house, and I find it's my responsibility to serve, so I will do it in love. I will not wait for anybody to come and ask me, why have I not done it? Then I'll get angry, then I'll go and do it anyhow in anger. Let love constrain you. Let love be your aim. Look after your children without grumbling. Mothers, help your children without talking. Oh, talk it on you. Be no fear. Oh, you is on. Ajijio, Papa. Before you pay school fees, you give a lecture. Give the lecture minus the school fees. And you know where I got this money from? I didn't have it. I don't have a mint. I don't manufacture money. And this money, where I got it from? I want to tell you that when you go to school, you give a lecture. You give a lecture. When it's time for offering, you won't do it in love. Giving your tithe, it's a command. But the second thing we are studying is that you do it in love. If you are not walking in that love, then somebody on the internet who has made himself your pastor will talk you out of it. And say that we are putting fear in people. Am I putting fear in you this morning? No. As for teaching, it unfolds revelation. So I may not have unfolded it 2 years ago, but I'm unfolding it now. And we are saying that it's a command. Honor is a command, but unless you are constrained by love, you do it today, tomorrow you won't do it anymore. So number one, honor is a command. Number two, honor is done by love. Number three, honor is done by initiative. What does initiative mean? It means to use your imagination to do something. Or to use your imagination to start something. People of initiative are self-starters. They don't need to be told. If you have to go to his room or her room and say, "Wake up. Go and clean your teeth. Go and have your bath. Gather your dirty clothes and put it in the washings. Let's go and dress up. I'm putting lunch in your lunch pack." Then that's a child. That's a child. That's a big, big, big child. So if you are 15, 16, 17, 12, and you have to be called upon to do everything, then you are not acting on initiative. Even your room, you won't sweep it. Your clothes, you won't iron. Can I hear an amen? So everything you must be told before you do it, you are a person whose value is going down. Because those whose values are high and are retained in organizations, in employment, they are people who act on initiative. Sometimes they will write a plan at the end of the year and say, "Sir, I was thinking about what we might be doing next year. And I said I'll scribble it on paper for you to do so you can add something else to it." It may be an idea that may not have occurred to your head of department, but suddenly he embraces it. When it's done, he goes to present it as management meeting as if it is his. But you would notice that it would have made your value appreciated in his sight because you are contributing to the department. And you are helping, if you have skills on the internet, to market the institution even much more than they are doing. So if you have to be told to do everything, then your case is like that of Mpabi Nodas. I didn't hear an amen. Mpabi Nodas visited his grandmother's house. And was giving butter. And the butter was in a leaf. And Mpabi Nodas carried the butter in the scorching sun. And the sun melted the butter by the time he got to the grandmother's house, everything dripped down. Then when Impabinodas came by, the man said, "Oh, Impabinodas, why did you do that? Don't you know the sun is burning high and scorching? Impabinodas, next time you go to your grandmother's, or is it grandfather's, something like butter, wrap a leaf around it and immerse it slightly in water. It will keep it and bring it." Then Impabinodas made a revisitation to his grandparents' place. Then this time he was giving a little puppy a dog. Then Impabinodas got a big leaf, wrapped it around it, and immersed it in water and carried the dog back home. By the time Impabinodas got to the place, the dog was dead. They said, "Oh, Impabinodas, why do you do that? Next time you visit your grandparents and you are giving a dog, find a rope, tie it around his neck, and let it drag it gently behind you, and bring the dog there." Impabinodas went, and they gave him a lump of meat. He tied a rope around the meat and started dragging the meat behind him, and some dogs saw it, and they ate it from the rope. Oh, Impabinodas. Give somebody a high five and say, "I know you are not Impabinodas." I mean, Impabinodas has to be told to do everything. Your value is poor. If you are a man and you are given to a woman as a wife, you will really disturb her. There are some people who feel that pastors have magic wand, and that if you go and marry such a thing and you bring him to me, and I lay hands, suddenly he'll become a man of initiative. What he has learned from childhood, it will be difficult to correct unless the same anointing that changed Saul to Paul will fall upon him before he will change. Nobody wants an Impabinodas in his house. Do you want an Impabinodas in your house? Now, the people here, do you want an Impabinodas in it? I'll give you a deadline. You'll be gone. Because I don't have to come and every time work myself, and you haven't done this, and since I left, you have been watching television. No, no, no. Do all your work, and when you sit behind the television, when your master comes, he will smile and say, "How are you?" I say, "I brought something for you." I think you should be clapping. So people of initiative are of great value. They are needed in organizations to make the business run and accelerate. People of initiative can keep your home for you. You will have no stress. You will feel like just dropping money for them. But then Pabino does this. And he comes and says, "Oh, this place is not properly clean. They have frowned." He said, "Do you realize it?" They won't even answer. Because that's a pure Impabinodas. In Jesus' name, I cast out every spirit of Impabinodas from our lives. Say amen. So one of initiative is one who starts on his own volition or on his own will. Such people are very resourceful. You will give them a little, they will bring much out of it. They are the ones who start the first series of actions. It was God who said, "Let us make man after our image." Otherwise, there would have been no man. He is a God of initiative. Jesus was a Christ of initiative. He says, "Let us go to the other side of the lake to minister the gospel." The woman with the alabaster box. come and talk on her more. Was a woman of initiative. She could sense Christ's death was at hand. And she was finding a way of anointing the Messiah before he left the earth. She bought an expensive fragrance that was said to be somebody's wages for a number of months. And she broke this fragrance onto the life of Christ. And then they were criticizing her that this is so expensive. How do you waste it on the Messiah? And Jesus said, what she has done, her name will be mentioned in generations to come. Today, I am mentioning her because of the work that she did. There are some of you, when you are buried, your work has ended. And nobody will remember you. But the Bible says the memory of the just is blessed. The one who lived to honor others, God will forever honor him. Put your hands together. So you need to take initiative to honor somebody else. Honor your brother, honor your sister, honor your cousin, honor your auntie, uncle, honor your grandfather, honor your parents. Honor your friend. I'm not even talking about pastor. Number four. So what's number one? Honor is a command. Number two, honor is to be done by love. Number three, honor is to be done by initiative. And number four, honor is to be done by practice. You may know all the truth, but if you don't step out, you having obeyed God. The Bible says, be ye not only hearers of the word, but be ye also doers of the word. Can I hear an amen? Oh, church, your amen is becoming softer and softer. There are ways by which you can honor either a friend or a colleague or something. Number one, you are patient with a person. It's such an honor. You are not screaming at the person. You are not shouting at the person. You are not rushing the person. You are taking your time. You are patient. Number two, being forgiving. Forgive the person. The person has offended you. It's very grievous. But like the father of the prodigal son, you decide to forgive. It's such an honor to the other person. Number three, when you help others, or can I support you? Can I help you? It's the aged. You want to bear their burden. It's the aged. You want to offer your seat. I have seen that in recent times. You find that students, young ones, don't recognize the need to give way to their teachers, their lecturers, and their superiors. They compete for the same gate with them. I want to say this. If you are going out of a gate and you meet your boss, stand aside and give him the opportunity to pass. If your boss says, carry on, I have given you the opportunity to pass, then go ahead. This small thing you do will register in the mind of your boss. I know we have universities where there are fewer seats in some lecture rooms, so the students are leaving lecture room A to lecture room B, and they are all running. And there's a lecturer who's coming out of the place, and they won't honor him. They will stampede him and push him down. And you think next time he's lecturing you, he will look at your face as you push him down. You find your pastor coming out and you are forcing to pass. And give honor to whom honor is due. Give way to whom honor is due. I was reading something on a platform, my mates in secondary school. And there were 50 points. And one of the points says that if you are eating with your husband, and there's left the last piece of meat, don't touch it. Do you know Lascaros? Osofo, I thank you for the way you laughed. We were at a seminar many years ago, and a couple were making the presentation, and they were now confessing to us that they had a bitter quarrel over something. What was it? The two of them were eating from the same bowl, and there was a last piece of meat that was left in the soup. And in the man's house, the training was that you will leave it to the man. But this lady looked into the man's eyes, picked the thing, brought it out, and did Oli-li-li-li-o-dan-golo. Oh, master, come on. Clap for yourself. You people, you are not clapping for yourself. Oli-li-li-li-mini-o-dan-golo. And you, if you pick the thing, just eat it. But to do an Oli-li-li-li-o-dan-golo, the thing hurts the man so much that he refused to talk to the lady. Everything ceased. Sex ceased. Communication ceased. Love ceased. And it was not until this lady came to apologize and to plead with him about the only lily. There are some of you, you do me only lily. You buy ice cream, and when I'm passing, then you do Oda and Kolo. Today, when I say, I will rebuke you, because you can't do that in front of me like that. Lascaros can create difficulties. And it's an honor to leave the thing. Oh, clap. Yeah, today you are not clapping. Clap louder. I don't like the clap. If I were God, I won't accept this. So you can be patient, you can be forgiving, you can help others. You can sometimes overlook the mistakes of others and find time to correct them gently. And you can treat others with respect and understanding. By doing so, you are honoring them. The psalmist says, "Thy gentleness, O Lord, has made me great." It is not the hey, hey, and the hi, hi that will make your spouse great. But it is how you handle things in humility and in love, caring for the person. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, say amen, say amen, say amen. So here you are, you'll find that we have to honor people by practice. Do you remember the story of Nabal and Abigail? Abigail was the wife of Nabal. And the name Nabal means someone who is foolish. David and his men were hungry, and they drew closer to the house of Nabal and requested to be served with some provisions. Nabal came out and said, you are like a runaway slave. You are going round like a nomadic person, and you have come to this place and you want me to feed you. I will not feed you. David got angry. David wanted to order his troops to finish him, but God restrained him. And then came this lovely wife of Nabal. Some beautiful women can marry some foolish men. God deliver you. Can I say it again? You will find a beautiful woman having married a foolish man, but that shall not be your portion. Say amen for somebody else. Abigail said, "My Lord, I apologize on behalf of my husband. I think he did not act well, and I want to make it up. And so the provisions are ready. I'm going to authorize our servants to bring them to you, And I want you to refresh yourselves. And if there is any other thing you need, please contact me, not my husband, and I will do it for you. By the following day, the heart of Nabal became like stone and he died. God delivered David from blood guiltiness. And after he died, David went to Nabal's house and proposed to Abigail. Oh yeah, some kind-heartedness will open the door for you. Abigail honored David and his men, and God honored her by marrying a king. I think you can put your hands together. Don't quarrel with everybody that comes to your shop. Don't quarrel with everybody that comes to your business. Find wisdom to manage each of them, because you don't know what God would do out of one. Maybe a major door will open for you, and God may pick you and push you to the other side. Are we not clapping the people here? Are we not happy about the word? His name was Elisha, and his master was Elijah. He has served the man amongst other prophets who were under the authority of Elijah. But the day Elijah will be taken to heaven, nobody else sensed it except this man who was described as having poured water over the hands of his master. None of these descriptions were ascribed to the other prophets because they wouldn't do it. But Elisha, by initiative, by love, and by understanding the command, decided that anytime my master will wash the hands, I will ask him and bring the water out. So nobody else would do it, because I would do it out of love. So he was the only prophet who sensed that his master would be taken away. The other sense, yes, do you know your master will be taken away? But they had lack of initiative. So he followed his master. What was he looking for? A double portion of the anointing that was on him. And when they crossed the Jordan and the chariot of fire from heaven came for his boss, before then he negotiated. And Elijah said, you have asked for a hard thing, but when you see me go by the chariot of God, this double portion of the anointing of God shall come upon you. Remember, there was even no laying on of hands. There was even no laying on of hands. It was just a request, a desire by Elisha. And Elijah said that, be it done unto you when you focus your attention on me and I'm taken to heaven. Today, somebody honoring the servant of God will receive a double portion of the Spirit of God. I want you to know that we are all supposed to practice honoring others. And we can't live in our own state like cocoons, where we don't reach out and honor other persons. In Matthew 10:41, the Bible says, if you honor another person, God shall give you a prophet's reward and a righteous man's reward. In other words, if you honor a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. And if you honor a righteous man, you will receive a righteous man's reward. So that takes me to number 5, rewards of honoring others. If you honor others, the reward will come to you. Joshua honored Moses, and God made him lay hands on Joshua, such that some of the honor that was upon Moses came upon Joshua. And from there, Joshua crossed the Jordan with Israel. And the Bible says that day, God magnified Joshua in the eyes of all Israel. And such as he was with Moses, so did the people see he was also with Joshua. I want you to know a double portion is coming. And that the grace that was upon Moses, the grace that has been upon your leader, some of it is coming strongly upon you now. Oh, say amen. His grace is from God. It wasn't manufactured by the leader himself. There are ways by which you can honor your pastor. Number one, you can acknowledge him. Acknowledge him that he is your pastor. Number two, you can submit to him in love. You don't struggle to submit. You just submit. Number three, you don't criticize him. If there are situations where you have to defend him, defend him. Because some people are wicked. Number four, pray for him. You are honoring him. Number five, if you have opportunity to give, give to him. And number six, when he says something, obey it. He says we are fasting, do well to obey. He says we are coming to midweek service, don't create your own set of laws. And if you are coming to church, come early. Can I hear an amen? These are the things which honor a leader. At the workplace, you arrive early. When your leader comes, everything is set. Your leader is happy with you. I didn't hear any amen. Number six, which is the final one. Whenever you have sown honor, you decree honor. So number one, honor is a command. Number two, what? You honor in love. Number three, you take initiative. Number four, you do what? You practice honor toward others. Number five, what do? You do what? Yeah, there are special rewards from God for honoring others. In other words, if you don't honor anybody, don't dream. You can pray in the biggest tongues you like. The Bible says God, when he created every seed to reproduce after his kind. So when you sow favor, you will reap favor. When you sow submission, you will reap submission. You sow loyalty, you will reap loyalty. You sow finances, you will reap finances. And when you sow honor to others, people will come and honor you. And nobody will fight you. Put your hands together. Some people, when they were young, in the early stages of their marriage, they had money. And so they disrespected their wives. Then later on, they became poor. And their wife vacated from them. And then when you meet them, say, oh, if I tell Shimi, Ebashimbo, because you be no doing. No, you know, no, upa. Oh, but be a po, I'm a quembo. Because none is sack or chun or chun. Ah, some people are not happy. So let me reverse my prayer. May the Lord be gracious to all of us. May the Lord be merciful to us. And where we fail, may God help us. And may he cause those people to come back and love us with the love of God. Amen. Is that a better prayer? So I cancel the first one. Oh, you are not clapping. When we are driving past some neighborhoods, I always tell my wife, look at how some of the fathers have the 3-5-year-old children on their shoulders. And they have their lunchbox and, you know, their backpacks, and they are taking them to school. It's so beautiful. But after they finish GSS, they don't even care. Agbina. Yeah. Yeah. And then you find all those girls on social media twerking their waist. Yeah. Yeah. They do well when the children are 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9. But after JSS, no sponsorship any longer. So you go to the community and you find that low and poor socioeconomic status is getting established. Your children must rise above you. And that should be your aim. Where you didn't step, they must be able to step in that place. I didn't hear an amen. Oh, let me hear an amen. Once a parent was complaining to me, my small boy, when I cook, he won't eat. But he will go to the next house and go and eat, and he will come and his stomach will be round and shiny. I have tried to sit him in the house and to give him food. He said, I cook well. The other elder brothers and sisters, they like my food, but this small boy is always going to the other house and I don't understand why he's doing that. And he picked that and sat on the stage. Do you know how the senior pastor feels when you choose to abandon services? We are all products of different people's teachings, even other than our pastors. Today I'm sharing something from my heart. So when we're young, we'd attend that seminar here, but we calculated so that we were present in our church. There are people here who would visit some meetings, and when they come back, we discuss and say, oh, Charlie, this servant of God, he's from Germany, and he really ministered. I'll say, what did he minister? We discuss it. But when you have the tendency that you have your church, and you are a leader, you are an elder, you are a minister, you are a deaconess, and you will abandon your church and attend a 7-day meeting somewhere, and when you are done, you will stay in the whole month of January, and you come, you feel it's an honor to me? Nope. You have your church. You won't attend 24th service. 25th December, you won't attend. 31st, you won't attend. Then the whole of January, you are in another church, and you are an elder in the church. And then you come back. There's something wrong with you. Pastor Kwashi, he's almost 70. When he's going somewhere else, he will call me either in the night or in the morning and tell me, Osofo, I will not be available. But as for you, you will abandon your deaconship and deaconesship and go and sit somewhere else. And when you come, I say, oh, into somewhere else, I can be more. God says that a servant honors the mother. Sorry, a servant honors the father. A servant honors what? The master. And a son the father. So a son honors the father and a servant the master. But I, God, where is my honor? Today I'm telling you, I'm asking you, where is my honor? The Bible says there are some people who labor on your behalf day and night. There are some people, some of the pastors say they labor for you in prayer day and night. Then you go and give offerings elsewhere. You say, we are jealous. I won't even ask you. If we have to speak and be frank, every week somebody's heart will be broken. But it is because of honor to you. Sometimes for 10 years we won't talk about it and let it pass because we honor you. Put your hands together. We just honor you. We won't talk about it. You are an instrumentalist and you are corrected once and then you stop coming to church. You will face it there. You will face the music elsewhere. When your child does so, encourage the person to come to church and say, oh, this is nothing. Hey, if you go and work at the bank, your boss will give it to you hard. So this one is nothing. You are training the person to be tough. Don't train people who will be weak mentally. So I say, after you have sown your honor, decree, and declare that from today onwards, I receive honor in the financial domain. I receive honor at work. I receive honor in my marriage. I receive honor in my community. I receive honor wherever I go. Immigration officers will honor me. Customs officials will honor me. They will recognize there's something distinct about me, and they will honor me. I think you should be clapping over there. Decree the honor. Some of the places you visit and stay for 1 month, they do not tolerate those things at all. You cannot do that in the Church of Pentecost. They will derobe you. Today is Father's Day. I didn't hear an amen. And I didn't just want to teach for fathers. I didn't even just want to teach for pastors. I have taught in such a way that this congregation and those online will learn how to honor one another. I was an ordinary member of a congregation until somebody picked me and ordained me. I respected the person till the person went to the grave. I even traveled to the U.S. and I was at the bedside of my mentor and had all kinds of tubes because my mentor was past 70 and the Lord was calling that person home. About 4 years before then, I flew there and I said, I want to thank you for the honor you done me. And for how you picked me and a brother of mine and appointed us as pastors, I take it not for granted. Somebody was to preach in that Sunday evening service. They called the person and said, you are not preaching. Reverend Tete Jangma has visited us. He is preaching tonight. I said, oh yeah, I'm preaching tonight. I finished my message. I rest my case.